We want to continue our latter part of a message we started this morning on revival. And we gave you several points concerning why we need revival. And tonight we want to deal with the great need of revival in our lives. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, 1 Samuel chapter 7, we're not going to read all those verses we read this morning, but we'd like to notice at least one verse here. In verse 3, 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 3, "And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If, it's a big word, circle that. If you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange god and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." A big word, if. I believe in this passage of Scripture is a big conditional. It depended on a whole lot on their deliverance, whether the Lord was going to deliver them or not. And so there were some things that they had to do. I know revival is all in the hand of the Lord. It's all by the power of God. But I believe also we're responsible. We're responsible human beings. And we need to realize the conditions that the Lord has put upon having a revival meeting, having a revival in our own heart. And that's where it all starts. It starts in each one of us individually as members of Olmsted Baptist Church. And so each one of us tonight need to examine ourselves and see what's missing in our lives, what's holding back a revival in our own heart. And so the Lord's not going to hold back revival just because of one or two people or because of a few things that needs to be done. I believe He deals with us individually, each individual member of this church. And He can bless your heart through the revival meeting. And I'm not talking about making moves and people coming forward and all of this. If that happens, great. But I'm talking about revival in our soul, of the whole church being revived together. And so, from what we had preached this morning, I think it was very evident that we need revival. Now, we see here in the book of Judges. Turn back here to the book of Judges. In Judges chapter 17, I believe it is, yes, 17 and verse 6. Judges 17 and verse 6. He says, "In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes." Does that sound familiar? Huh? "In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes." And I believe that's where we are today. One of the reasons that we're not having revival is everybody is doing that which is right in his own eyes. It doesn't matter what the preachers preach. Doesn't matter what the teachers teach. We do that which is right in our own eyes. They did that back here. You see that they did that a lot in the Old Testament. And so the nation of Israel just slipped deeper and deeper into moral and spiritual corruption. Just deeper and deeper. And that's where we're at. And we see here also in our reading in 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Turn back here, 1 Samuel chapter 3. And let us read verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. The word of the Lord was precious in those days. The word precious means rare. Rare. And so we see that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Is God's word rare in your life? Is it rare in your life? Not just the hearing of it, but the living of it also. The living of it also. We see also that the worship of God was not real. What the people expressed in worship had no impact upon their lives. And so there's a lot of worshiping going on today that is vain, that's empty of the presence of the leadership of God. And it leaves us empty. Doesn't have any impact on our lives. And so we see that the Lord was missing in their worship. We see that in 1 Samuel chapter 4, 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 17, it says, "And the messenger answered and said, Israel is fled before the Philistines, and there hath been also a great slaughter among the people, and thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken." And so we see that the Ark of the Covenant had been captured by the Philistines. And when Eli heard it, he fell and broke his neck and died. And along with the Ark, Eli's sons were killed. Phinehas' wife gave birth to a son, and what'd she name him? Ichabod. What's the word Ichabod mean? The glory of the Lord has departed. The glory of the Lord has departed. Where is the Lord at in your life? Where's the Lord at in your life? Have you let and allowed other things to capture the presence of the Lord from you? That's what happened here. We don't take the Word of God seriously. You find yourself sometimes just sitting, just reading to be reading. Or just reading because you say, well, I haven't read my Bible today. I need to sit down and read my Bible. And you sit down and you're not getting a thing out of it. We don't take the Scripture seriously. This fellow made a statement. I think this generation knows less about Scripture than any generation in my lifetime. We are reading the books of men, but not the book of God. Therefore, when God moves in judgment, the average person will not even recognize that it's God. I thought that was pretty good. Now, that man alive, that sounds just exactly what's going on in our day. And so the story of revival in the days of Samuel continues on in chapter 7 as we find the ark having been removed or actually given back by the Philistines. And it first stayed at Beth Shemesh, in which 50,000, 70 men died. Why? Because they looked into the Ark of the Covenant. They looked into the Ark of the Covenant. You say, you mean God killed them? God killed them. Say, why did he kill them? Because they wasn't doing it the way God told them to do it. They wasn't worshiping God the way he told them to worship him. Listen, our God is he's very merciful. He is very long-suffering with us. And we see here, he got their attention. And he knows how to get our attention. He knows how to get our attention. We think everything going along just fine. And all of a sudden we go to the doctor and the doctor says, I'm sorry, but this is wrong with you, and you got this wrong with you, and you got this wrong with you, and you got this wrong with you. You know? And then we sit back and we say, why did all of this come upon me? And we sit back and we start thinking, and we can go back to this and this and this and this. Listen, the Lord speaks to his people. He speaks to us. I laid over on a operating table in Nashville, Tennessee, and the Lord spoke very calmly to me and told me why I was laying there. Lord deals with me. And I'd have to say, you're right, Lord. You're right. You're just. I deserve that. Just be merciful to me. Let me live a little bit longer. That I might enjoy my children, that I might enjoy my grandchildren. And the Lord granted me that request. Let me pastor the Lord's church for a while. Let me preach for a little bit longer. And the Lord honored that. He blessed me. So the Lord knows where every one of us live. And it's all why the reason he killed them was because they looked into the Ark of the Covenant and God told them not to look into the Ark of the Covenant. They wasn't supposed to do that. The high priests were to do that. They wasn't. They wasn't allowed to. God told them not to. God tells us not to do a lot of things, but we go ahead and do it anyway. And that's a sin. And there's consequences to sin. There's consequences to sin. Now, is what they needed to do was to return, and remove, and get ready, and render themselves unto the Lord. And that's what we need to do. Are we doing that? Are we doing? Have you thought anything more about the message I preached this morning? Huh? Have you thought about any of those points that I gave you about 30 of them probably? I had some say, man, every one of those hit me. But we need to return. We need to remove some things. That's what they needed to do. In 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 2, it says, and it came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim that the time was long, for it was 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord, or they cried after the Lord. And so we see here that they had a good cry about something that they were not willing to do anything about. And we do the same thing. We have a good cry about some things that we don't have any, we're not even going to change. They weren't going to do anything about it in the first place. And so they needed to return. They needed to remove some things. They needed to get ready. And they needed to render themselves unto the Lord. And so how serious are we about our service for the Lord? Is there any changes that needs to be made in our lives spiritually? Is there any changes at all? When's the last time you made a change in your spiritual life? I mean, I'm talking about some good drastic changes in your life. So I don't know, Brother Jones, I've been like this for 15 years, you know. I've been like this ever since I've been saved. I haven't changed a whole lot. That was the same way with them. I believe that the Lord works on us. And there are some things that we need to change in our life spiritually from time to time. I believe there are some commitments that we need to make in our lives from time to time, but we are scared to death of commitment. What makes us so scared of commitment? Why are we not willing to commit to some things spiritually? We can commit to a lot of things in the world. Huh? Can we not? Huh? We can buy a great big old 2006 automobile, and we'll commit to that bank, B&T Bank, and we'll commit to them, or the Wilson Bank, and we can commit ourselves to them, and we can say that we're going to pay $350 or $400 for a car payment. We commit ourselves to that. We say that we're going to pay that every month. But the Lord tells us to commit ourselves unto the Lord, and we're not about to commit to anything, any spiritual thing. We have services on Sunday night. And you know why we don't have as many here as we had this morning? Because people are not committed to come on Sunday night. You know the reason we don't have as many on Wednesday as we do on Sunday morning? Because people are not willing to commit themselves to coming and being there on Wednesday night. That's where we're at. That's where they were at. And the Lord said they were going to have to change some things if He was going to deliver them. We see here in verse 3 of our reading, we need to return to the Lord. Look at verse 3. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts. So that was one of the first points that we wanted to bring out concerning this pre-revival point is that we need to return to the Lord with all of our hearts. That's what they were supposed to do. And as I said a minute ago, that if we're going to have revival, we need to realize that it's conditional. Samuel speaks here of the big word if, signifying here if they followed the words that God would deliver and revive them. But we've got to commit to Him, and He'll deliver us, and He'll revive us. And on the other hand, if they failed to act, deliverance would not come. Deliverance would not come. And we can go on just the way we're going. But revival's not going to come. Boy, it's a joy to be revived, to be renewed. Oh, that's a blessing. I've been in it's sad to say today, but there's very few people in our churches today that have never experienced a true, genuine revival. That's sad. I'll tell you what, a church gets revived, you're going to see some shaking going on. People get shook up. When the presence of God is there, and He's manifesting His presence, and He's manifesting His power, you're going to see and you're going to experience a true, genuine revival. The Word of God was precious. In those days, it was rare. People today don't want to hear the Word of God. And so, he said, if you return to the Lord with all your hearts. So we need to return. We need to turn around. We need to reverse. We need to withdraw some things out of our life. So Samuel encourages them to return to the sovereign God of their lives with a whole heart. The Lord does not receive half hearted service. He desires our whole heart. In fact, turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah. Turn over here with me in chapter 3. Jeremiah 3:10. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause my anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. They hadn't returned to Him with their whole heart. It was in pretense. It was in pretense. It's sad today, but people don't even recognize that they have moved from what God wants them to do. That's sad. Look with me in Revelation. Book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 4. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Do what you did when you were first saved. Do your first works. How far away are you from your first works? How far away have you moved from your first works? Good questions, aren't they? Or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Talk to the church here. The church at Ephesus. You see, you mean the Lord to do that? Why, he sure can. A lot of people wouldn't even recognize it. I believe our returning to the Lord requires repentance, a total mind change, and turning from our sins. May the Lord lead us into conviction. We all need an unconditional return. An unconditional return where we withdraw from the things of the Lord or from the things of the world. And then when we do that, then he said he would return to us. And Zechariah chapter 1 verse 3 says, therefore say to them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, return to me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, in our reading in 1 Samuel, in verse 3, he says here, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you. In other words, he's saying remove anything that's foreign in your life. Put away, turn aside, withdraw, pluck away. And so I believe Samuel was calling for a get rid of some things in your lives. And they literally worshiped carved images of stone and wood and so on. And God had been replaced with the false gods of pleasure and false worship or perverted worship. Those are some things that took place back then. I'm thankful today that we're under grace. The Lord's very gracious to us today, isn't he? We're not under the law. Law was a schoolmaster to teach us some things. And I believe he's teaching us some things here through the life of Samuel and some of the principles that were applied here in his life and in the life of his people that he preached to. And so, money and work and time and sex and recreation and other pleasures can quickly become gods in our lives that control us and possess us. And I believe it's time tonight to pluck them from our lives. Turn aside and come back to the Lord that loved us, to the Lord that died for us on the cross of Calvary. In the book of Hebrews, turn back here with me. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I believe that there will be some life-changing actions in our lives. And there cannot be any return without removing. Things we've got to remove. And anything else is just lip service. You know, we're good about that in our day that we're living in. There's some things that we need to change in our own lives. We need to quit going to certain places. We need to quit hanging around certain people. We need to quit doing certain things. Those things that pull us away from the Lord. Those things that pull us away from the Word of God. This is what happened here. And throughout the Scriptures, God calls for a radical dealing with sin. Those sins that take us away from the Lord. So we need to put away foreign gods. We need to purify ourselves. We need to change our garments. We need to put away childish things. And then in verse 3 of our reading, he says, "And prepare your hearts unto the Lord." In other words, I believe he was saying that we need to get our hearts ready. I believe that's what he was saying to them. Some things that we need to do. There was some preparing that needed to be done. To be established. To make ready. To make provision for the Lord. And so our hearts and our minds need to be ready. Now, in the act of revival, if we do not prepare our hearts to hear and to receive God's word, and then to follow with godly living, it's nothing more than a facade. We're in need of preparing our hearts. I want more than just a form. Don't you? Have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And all of us know the areas in our life that we desire things to be better.
but we're not willing to prepare ourselves to live and to act according to the Word of God. Listen, our lives are to be governed and led by the Word of God. That's what being a Christian is all about. We're to be governed by Him. We're to be led by Him. We're to be controlled by Him. Now, we notice also that we need to realize and we need to come clean before the Lord and we need to prepare our hearts without reservations, without any compromise. In the book of Psalms chapter 139, he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." And may God bless us with that passage of Scripture. And then in verse 4 of our reading, he says, "Prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve Him only." And serve Him only. In other words, I believe another point here is that they needed to render their service. What are we? Are we not servants? Servants serve. And we need to render our service. And this is what he was telling them. He says, serve Him only. So our fourth thought here is one of service. And so Samuel shows that without serving the Lord, all other aspects of revival are no good. You know, other people can look at us and they can tell whether we're serving the Lord. May we work and may we serve the Lord the very best that we can, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. That's the reason we're so miserable all the time. It really is. The devil gets into our lives, works in our lives, and it's possible for us to become mentally upset. It'll affect us physically. It'll affect us emotionally. Because we've gotten away from the Lord. You know, you can look at your own self and you can look and see and pinpoint every place that you got out of the will of God and you got away from God, and it's affected you. If you'll be honest with yourself, you can pinpoint it. You can say, it was here that I started getting away from the Lord. It was here, and it was here, and it was here. And this is what was going on with them here. And may the Lord work in every one of us, in each one of us mentally and physically and emotionally and spiritually. Let me tell you something. Depression is real. It is real. It does happen. And sometimes we don't know why it happens. But it does happen. But there's a cure for it. And sometimes it's a returning. Sometimes it's a removal. of some things in our lives that ought not to be there. And a lot of times we are the cause of a lot of it. We've all been there, haven't we? But may the Lord affect us today mentally and physically and emotionally and spiritually. Now, in the fourth chapter, I don't have time to go back to all of these different verses, but in 1 Samuel chapter 4, and well, just turn back here. Just go back here to Samuel. It's just a page back here. Go back here to chapter 4. And let us begin reading verse 9. I want to read two or three verses here. Be strong and quiet yourselves, quit ye like men, O ye Philistines, that you be not servants unto the Hebrews as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight. And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, for there fell among Israel 30,000 footmen. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. We can learn a lot from these passages of Scripture. And I have too much to go. I should have broke this up in about three or four series. But we've all got the point, I believe, today. There needs to be some returning. There needs to be some confessions in your own heart. You don't have to come forward unless you need to. But in our own hearts, we need to remove some things from our lives that ought not to be there. Where are you at spiritually tonight? Where are you at? He said, oh, Brother John, you don't know how low I am. I know how high you can be. You know, repenting will do a lot of things for us. Turning from our sin will do a lot for us. How do you feel when you repent? When there's things in your life and there's sin in your life and there's things in your life that you need to repent of and you really truly repent of those things, what does it do for you? What does it do to you? I tell you what, one thing, it makes you right with the Lord. It'll give you happiness and joy in your life that you've returned back to Him. There's rejoicing. There's nothing like rejoicing in the Lord. There's not a feeling like it. There's not a feeling like it. I tell you what, the Word of God affects me. It affects me. I tell you what, before I was preaching, Brother Turner would get up and preach. Man, there wasn't a service. It wasn't a service that went by. I don't believe that I didn't go forward. I mean, he would preach the Word of God, and the Word of God tear me up. Boy, I remember those days. Y'all remember? When we were tender, this old world takes a toll on you. It'll take a toll on you. Especially if you give in to it. If you give in to it. And that's where our problem is today. We give in to it. And may we see tonight where we have fallen short. Let us all stand and have a song. The Lord has spoken to you. You're here tonight. You lost, never been saved, never trusted the Lord. We urge you to come. The Lord has dealt with you. The Lord saved you.
come. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.